This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. All investing involves risk.
Hello and welcome to L&G Talks Asset Management. The investment world is full of memorable sayings, from cash is king to the trend is your friend. But do these sayings actually stand up to scrutiny? I'm Dee Campbell, a content manager with L&G's asset management business, and today I'm joined by three investment specialists from our asset allocation team. They've all written a white paper recently exploring this topic in more detail. So, welcome to Chris Jeffrey, who's head of macro strategy. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Dee.
Chris Teschmacher, who is a fund manager, but also the head of asset allocations investment specialist.
Hello.
Hello. And we have Patrick Green, who's a strategist.
Hi.
Hello. Thanks for joining me today. So, looking at investment sayings, some of them can date back to as far as the 1600s. So that's a lot of investment sayings to kind of trawl through. But I understand your index has outlined the top 12 of words of wisdom. So if I can start with you, Chris, can you tell me the motivation behind creating this white paper and how you decided on the 12 that made it into your index?
Yeah, so anybody who spends kind of time around financial markets will have heard, we think, one of these, or several of these 12 phrases repeatedly. They're kind of these pithy words of advice, words of wisdom, words of folklore that get kind of kicked around. And we wanted to just kind of delve into as many as we thought were kind of mainstream and ask, like, is there really content behind behind the turn of phrase? We wanted to put a bit of structure on it. We kind of, you know, work in financial markets. We all like structure. So we decided that we were going to score each of these sayings on three criteria, marks out of five for each. So first up, durability. How long has this saying been in common use? We think that, you know, staying power is important. Things that have stood the test of time are likely to have more information content than ones that have just been invented yesterday. Reliability. So how frequently, with what sort of regularity, would this phrase, if you had followed the advice implicit within it, have been something that was useful and kind of repeatable? And then finally, insight. Like, how much is there genuine wisdom here, or how much is it just a sort of trite observation that the sun rises in the east and the sky is blue? So that's the kind of criteria used. Patrick, I have to give credit to Patrick. Patrick came up with a great acronym that we were going to call this the WISE Index, the Well-Known Investment Sayings Evaluation Index. All kudos to Patrick sitting to my right. Yeah.
Very wise. I love it. So, Patrick, going to you now then. Let's delve into a few of the sayings that were actually in the index. So one was sell in May. I remember hearing that one quite a long time ago, probably when I first started out. How far back does that investment saying go?
Yeah, well, we don't know for sure, actually, but the second half of the saying, come back on St. Ledger's Day, links it to a horse race that started way back in 1776 in Doncaster. So you could think about this one as much lifestyle advice for financial advisors back in the day as actual economic advice, in asking them to go and enjoy their summer holidays, practically.
Okay. So that must have quite a good score for durability then. What about reliability?
Yes, so not quite as good a reliability score. So surprisingly, and I say surprisingly because we don't necessarily think that there are strong reasons why there might be seasonality in financial market returns. So surprisingly, there is some evidence for this seasonality. But when we look at the seasonality, we have a few things that make us a little bit nervous about inferring too much. One is it doesn't apply evenly to all financial markets. So if you see it in one place, why wouldn't you see it somewhere else? That should give you a little bit of caution. Two is it tends to rely on smaller companies, so might not actually be tradable. And then lastly, the authors who do this research tend to move the goalposts slightly. So the original saying links it to come back on St. Ledger's Day, which is in mid-September. But actually, when you do this research, or sorry, when academics do this research, they often look at returns to the end of October. And October has had a few notable crashes. So they're kind of helping themselves get the result they want to see.
Right. Okay. And then, Christy, there's another saying that I just want to have a look at in more detail. It's one that I remember, particularly during things like the COVID pandemic, when we said we used to use time in the market, not timing in the market. Can you tell us more about that and how you delved into that saying?
Yes, this one's often accompanied by quite a striking chart that kind of shows how much investment return you'd forego if you missed, let's say, the top 10 best days in the market. And when you look at the data, even over long horizons, we've looked over more than 30 years, missing just those top 10 days actually can cut your total investment return by as much as half. So it's quite striking. But when we looked further into the data, you actually found that if you were able to kind of avoid the worst days, that that could be even more powerful. So that presents a bit of a dichotomy. Do you try and stay invested so you don't miss the best days? Or do you try and time the markets to avoid those worst days? Well, again, looking further into the data, you see that these best and worst days, they actually come in clusters. So it's quite typical that this will arrive in a moment of kind of market crisis, and that there are very big losses on one day and then big recoveries in the kind of the days that follow. The idea that you can dip in and then dive out of markets is kind of becoming a little bit unrealistic by this fact that they're so clustered. And so for us, we kind of think that trying to time the market like that is probably going to be quite difficult, and it's also fraught with behavioral biases that are often quite destructive to investment outcomes. So we think that the phrase, you know, holds a lot of water, that time in the market earns you the compound returns that investment markets offer you, but it's not the full story. And a kind of diversified approach, one with discipline, can allow us to move some clients' money kind of through the economic cycle. So overall, we rate this kind of phrase pretty highly, but it's not always presented completely, shall we say.
Yeah, where did that one actually rank in your top 12?
Well, I think it came in our top three, yeah. And Chris is going to go through some of those later. I know there's kind of a bit of friction, we'll see that, between some of the phrases, but combined, we think that they do hold quite well together.
I do think I hope there's no spoiler alerts coming from.
I do think that's one that will always be used. It will stand the test of time, that kind of saying.
Yeah, and I think for most investors, the idea of trying to navigate one day to the next is kind of it's not really possible. So it does hold good water.
Yeah, and if you think of specifics of that, I remember during the middle of the financial crisis, like huge volatility day to day, plus 10, minus 10 returns on US equities. So if you think back to COVID, that kind of March, April 2020 episode, yeah, well, it's pretty similar.
We've had on this year as well, around Liberation Day in the US as well. I was actually on the way to the airport. I left the office kind of in the middle of the afternoon. It wasn't a great day in markets. And by the time I got to the airport, I think we were on plus 10% for the S&P. So, you know, there was no indication that was about to happen. And all of a sudden, a small reversal in policy gives you these huge gains. We think that trying to time that is really kind of beyond difficult.
So another one that stood out to me was As Safe As Houses. So I think, Patrick, you took a look at that one. So what did you find when you did your analysis? Was it safe as houses? Was there kind of structural issues with the saying?
Yeah, so it's a really good question, because it's actually more difficult than you'd think. Everyone thinks about house prices going up, but there's lots of unseen costs that come with that. Anyone who's fortunate enough to own their own home will know that, you know, there's lots of costs that add up over the time, whether that's a burst pipe or just painting your walls, and they're often not captured. So when you go back and look at this, and various different academics have, you can get kind of a 2% difference in a per annum return estimated, even for a same country, same time period. So there's lots of uncertainty. And then a second kind of feature here is that you don't see house prices every day, not in the true financial market sense, because they're not very frequently transacted. So you get this somewhat artificial smoothing. So they seem somewhat safer than they really are. Whereas if you could see kind of real life pricing, it might move around a lot more. Mm-hmm. You get the sense of volatility. That's not to say it's kind of nothing useful here. We think that real estate more broadly is actually a really useful part of a diversified portfolio. It's a building block that we love to use, and it's something that is included in many of our portfolios. And when we say real estate more broadly, what we mean is that you can actually, as well as residential housing, you get access to warehouses, offices, data centers, kind of a huge diverse set of cash flows that are kind of a useful part of building a portfolio.
That's really interesting to hear. And I've heard all of these sayings so many times, but I've never really kind of gone under the bonnet of them and thought about what they mean the way that you are talking about them today. So I would like to talk about this all day, but unfortunately, we're going to have to bring it to a close soon. So, Chris Jay, you opened it up for us and you told us about the motivation behind the paper. Is there anything else you just want to let our listeners and viewers know about from the paper? For example, what were the top three?
Yeah, okay, I can say a few things there. So the one that I got the hardest time for including in the list, you can see Patrick smiling already because he knows what's coming, is going to be you can't beat a relative sandwich. It was my favourite for being kind of metaphorically bizarre, and actually was something that one of somebody very senior in distribution suggested that we should include. I think it's great. Other people didn't agree, but that diversity of thought is welcome and embraced on our team. But in terms of the top three, the kind of runners and riders got reduced to these three nuggets of wisdom. In third place, one from I think Warren Buffett originally: be fearful when others are greedy, and greedy when others are fearful. There are different versions of this you hear time and time again, but they're all kind of trying to key in to the same thing. So the kind of history buffs amongst our audience might like to think of kind of things from the Napoleonic War, that you should be buying on the sound of cannons and selling on the sound of trumpets. So, you know, buying when the bad news about war is starting and sell when you get the good news that, that war is over. There's something kind of like very, very kind of like insightful at the heart of this, that market sentiment swings around a lot, and capturing those swings in market sentiment is likely to be just as important as capturing changes in fundamentals. So if we look at any kind of analysis of how valuations move over time relative to changes in earnings outlooks or dividends outlooks, it's that premium or discount swinging around as a function of market sentiment that is captured here. And that's why we spend, in our dynamic investment process, we just spend a lot of time trying to measure market sentiment, trying to think about market sentiment, trying to understand what the inflection points are and where we may be tipping from kind of one regime in terms of how investors look at the world to another. So that's number three, bronze medal. Silver medal is one that Chris has already mentioned. So the time in the market beats timing the market. I always feel I have to say that one slowly, otherwise I'm going to totally garble it. We just think is a very accurate way of thinking about the importance of earning that strategic structural risk premium that comes with equity allocations, that comes with credit allocations, if you believe in a term premium, that comes with government bond allocations. Now, like Chris has already kind of mentioned, there's a bit of tension there because we also do believe that there should be dynamism in your asset allocation. But for us, that's a story about not sort of, I'm going to bring in another phrase, we shouldn't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Just when you're kind of like negative on the market outlook, it doesn't mean you should de-risk entirely. When you're positive on the market outlook, it doesn't mean that you should, you know, swing for the fences with an incredibly aggressive position. So our dynamic process is more about a risk-controlled, time-consistent tilting approach across lots of assets. It's not about sort of taking big punts on overall market direction. So yeah, that tension exists, but we think that that there is something very, very true about that time in the market beats timing the market. And that's why we've given it the silver medal. So in gold medal position, finally, is, excuse the pun, a cracker. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I like this one because it is kind of time immemorial, if that's a word, immortal. So the first actual reference to that phrase that anyone's been able to find was 1605 in Don Quixote. So if it's good enough for Cervantes, it's good enough for us. And actually, an appeal to diversification you can find in the book of Ecclesiastes, which dates back to about 300 to 400 BCE. And this is going to be my final comment. The book of Ecclesiastes is reputed to have been written by King Solomon himself. So you don't get much more wise than King Solomon.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you to all of you for your time and your insight today. That was really interesting. As I mentioned, I've heard these sayings, but to really kind of examine them in more detail has been really insightful. So thank you once again. If you haven't read the white paper, I would encourage you to take yourself off to LNG Insights, where you'll find the white paper, you'll find some blogs and a lot more insight that delves into this topic in more detail. Thank you.
As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. The views expressed in this podcast are those of L&G's Asset Management Division, as at the date of publication. This podcast is for informational purposes only, and we're not soliciting any action based on it. The information discusses general market, economic or political issues, or industry or sector trends. It does not constitute research or investment, legal or tax advice. It is not recommendation or advertisement to buy or sell securities or pursue a particular investment strategy. Assumptions, opinions, and estimates are provided for illustrative purposes only. There is no guarantee that any forecast made will come to pass. No party shall have any right of action against L&G in relation to the accuracy or completeness of the information contained in this podcast. Where this podcast contains third-party information, the accuracy or completeness of such information cannot be guaranteed, and we accept no responsibility or liability in respect of such information. Not for distribution to any person in any jurisdiction where such distribution would be contrary to local law or regulations. Copyright 2025. Legal and General Investment Management Limited is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. Unless otherwise stated, references herein to L&G, we and us are meant to capture the global conglomerate that includes, in the European Economic Area, LGIM Managers Europe Limited, authorised and regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland as a UCITS management company pursuant to European Communities, Undertaking for Collective Investment in Transferable Securities Regulations 2011 as amended, and as an Alternative Investment Fund Manager pursuant to the European Union Alternative Investment Fund Managers Regulations 2013 as amended. In the USA, Legal and General Investment Management America, Inc., a US SEC regulated investment advisor. In Japan, Legal and General Investment Management Japan, KK, a Japan FSA registered investment management company. In Hong Kong, issued by Legal and General Investment Management Asia Limited, which is licensed by the Securities and Futures Commission. And in Singapore, issued by LGIM Singapore Pte Limited, company registration number 20223187 6W, which is regulated by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more content, you can check us out on LinkedIn or on our website.